Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Hello and welcome to Opinionated Marketers with Charles Nixon and me, Kieran Kapoor. Charles, you've got an interesting article about BrewDog, and I think you're thinking about loyalty being the sort of the next big thing for companies.
Yes, BrewDog made a major announcement at their annual bash to mark their 15th anniversary. They've announced that they will be giving much more loyalty features to their existing owners and staff. They're going to give profit share to their workers in their bars. And they give loyalty to owners who buy their products. So there's customer loyalty as well. And it reminded me of various other aspects that I've come across over the last few years. Mainly, I think, probably since the pandemic struck and most people were trying to build their businesses or to retain their businesses by offering some basis of loyalty to repeat customers. If we go back to the 80s, then we had the idea of the club card and the customer loyalty card, which became almost ubiquitous in the high street, the result of which was that they didn't actually gain a great deal of unique loyalty, which I think was how they were originally viewed. But they reward customers for buying goods and services from their favourite brands. And increasingly, I think now most companies in their business model need to start to think about how they build in some element of loyalty, maybe a discount, but more likely it'll be in some other feature, whether it's a points-based system, or indeed it may well be in giving to a mutually agreed charity. So the idea I would say is that the new business model is going to be loyalty-based in order to maintain the success of any long-term business.
I found the BrewDog article quite interesting. So they're offering two things, one of which they're giving away 5% of the company to salaried team members. Now, this to me actually seems, although they're saying it's really wild and exciting, it's actually just a profit share scheme. I was in a profit share scheme, definitely pre-last century with a previous company. It doesn't seem to me to be that exciting. It's a shares being given to team members. And then the other one, which is possibly slightly different, is they're talking about a whole new business model for hospitality where they're going to share 50% of their profits from their bars. Okay, so and hospitality is struggling to get staff, so this is an interesting way of saying we're going to boost the money you make. I do wonder, you can't rely on that money. It's what they make as a profit. So the argument is that the harder you work, the more profit the company makes. But you and I both know that you can sit with an accountancy firm, a very reputable accountancy firm, and they will sit there, look at your figures and go, right, so how much profit do you want to make? Because accountants seem to be able to change figures, that you can't invent profit, but you can reduce your profit by lots of offsets and things. It's how accountants make their money. So I do wonder, actually, if what you end up doing is annoying members of staff if they realise that profit levels can be manipulated.
That's very true. And I think that comes, therefore, down to the honesty and the transparency with which the company works. You're absolutely right. You can make all sorts of cost claims to reduce the profit of a particular bar. But I think that will come down to how they decide to actually work it. The employee ownership is more than just a profit share. It is an equity ownership. The often discussed aspect is that BrewDog has in the past considered that it might go for an IPO, a listing on the stock market. And in that instance, then the employees would become stakeholders and turned into shareholders. And that in itself would be a return on their investment. investment in terms of making the company a valuable entity. There are flaws in all of these things, you're absolutely right. And it depends entirely on the transparency and the equity of the company to deliver those sorts of returns. I think it is to be applauded because it is attempting to find a way in which it can maintain staff or retain staff and retain people's interest in a more equitable company rather than the standard companies that do not give employees ownership or returns. So I think, yes, there is the cynical response, though this all depends. But there are, of course, the corporate options, which are you don't get anything.
Yes. I mean, I don't want to sound too cynical about it. I do think it's an I think loyalty and staff loyalty are going to become increasingly important as we move into a situation where it is increasingly hard to recruit staff. So I challenge quite how innovative BrewDog are trying to make this sound. I think it's reviving things that other companies do or that are done in different ways. The idea of thinking about how you can give employees stakes in the company, I don't think is new. And I do think, yes, it's important. If you're working hard for something, you should be seeing a reward. However, many employees will tell you that what they actually want for that is a reward that they can guarantee, i.e. a wage or a salary. Because I know what that's going to be month on month, rather than something where I'm waiting to see what I'm going to get and I can't bank on it or I can't get a mortgage out on it.
No, these are all good points. And indeed, the same applies for people who are partners at John Lewis. You know, their annual bonus isn't something that you can bank on. You don't know what's going to come. Unfortunately, those are the vagaries of the marketplace as we go up and down in economic cycles. I just think that from a staff retention point of view, it's better than the old models of capitalism. And I think in terms of linking it with customers and giving customers returns in terms of discounts and building up profile and loyalties, I think it is also beneficial from a marketing perspective to give you stand out in the crowd.
Now, we haven't really discussed the customer loyalty side because, of course, there is also the element of it allows you to gather information about your customer, which your customer may be very, very happy to give you. I mean, if you're passionate about a brand, you may be very comfortable that the brand knows who you are and your likes and dislikes. But there is also an element of what's the phrase? If you're not paying for it, then if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product. So the information can also be something that is data mined on you that you may not be aware of.
True. Absolutely. So you have to have a good data policy and, again, a transparent data policy. I would see it on a more positive basis that I don't think necessarily that my consumption of beer through BrewDog is necessarily going to do me any detrimental harm if anyone knows about it. So I'm quite happy that they might have that data. Should they wish to sell it to someone else, then I would expect them to tell me that they're going to sell it to someone else in their terms and conditions. And in most instances, again, you know, what we are looking for as marketers is to be much more targeted and much more responsive to people. And we need to understand them. And seeing as we don't necessarily go into a pub on a daily basis and therefore can walk in and say a pint of the usual, which is what the old system used to be, we rely on data.
I think that's a good point. As I said, certain brands, yes, I think one is very comfortable with them knowing about you because you feel a connection to them. Yeah. And BrewDog, I'm almost certain, is one of those. It's one of those brands that has created a personality around itself, a sort of offbeat personality. It occurs to me, actually, we've been talking about BrewDog. We've never actually said who BrewDog are. So BrewDog are a it's a beer company, essentially. How would you describe them, Charles? They're sort of, they I think of them as being quite
a punk equity brand is what they talk themselves. They started initially with the part of the new microbrewery style, doing IPAs rather than the standard British bitter. And they're Scottish based. And have done remarkably well with bringing things like Punk IPA, which is their flagship, their first brand, and lots of others out there into the marketplace. They're probably the biggest of the new breweries in the marketplace now. And they've gone into owning their own distribution, as in their own pubs, but well, bars, really. They have had some controversy in the past, but they do have a fairly loyal following.
They're also very keen on doing the sort of cheeky brands. So when there was the big controversy about Dominic Cummings and whether he drove to test his eyes in Durham, they produced various beers took the mick out of that particular political story. But they're always done as limited editions and then they disappear again. So they have an alternative view to the market.
And they're fiercely environmentalist. They quite aggressively state that they are carbon negative and challenge other breweries to do the same. So I think it's part of their what we might call corporate DNA that they try and think about the way in which they can look at the world in slightly different approaches, some of which may well be reinventing the old ideas, as you said. But the fact that they are doing so, I think, says something about them. But they are just an example, and it is not about them that I was really sort of saying that we need to consider. It is them as an example of others who are doing the same sort of things in giving loyalty and rewarding loyalty, whether it is for employees, stakeholders, or indeed customers. And I think that is part of the new paradigm for corporates.
That sounds like, I like the idea of finishing on a new paradigm. Lovely to chat to you, Charles.
All right. Okay. Very nice to talk to you too, Kieran. Bye-bye.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content.
From Cambridge Marketing College.